Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Law Talk on Joy Drive.
Sally Nichols, Managing Partner at Nichols Family Lawyers. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How about yourself?
Not too bad. The sun is out. It stopped raining in Melbourne, so I'm happy about that.
I got caught in the rain taking my dog for a walk this afternoon, and he didn't care.
Yeah, but did you get a bit cold? I have to say, it feels like winter's upon us, and it's just too early.
I know it is. Now, Sal, last month we spoke about how to stay safe while dating online, and I believe that since then you've been in contact with the Federal eSafety Commissioner to follow up some of the safety concerns we discussed and concerns our listeners also mentioned being worried about.
Yeah, I did, Warren, because some of those concerns appear to be quite unique and outside my experience. I think your experience, you're very experienced, aren't you? So we thought we'd better raise these with the eSafety Commissioner, who was very generous in responding and very quickly to the concerns raised by the Joy Drive listeners. In particular, the safety concern that one listener raised was that some dating apps restrict the number of people you can block, which is a real problem, as it means you might not be able to block everyone who's a safety risk. And another listener pointed out if you wanted to access certain features on dating apps, you had to sign up for a paid account, and some people might not be able to afford it, which means that they have to consider putting themselves at risk when using apps and things. And so we got really thoughtful response from the commissioner, which was great.
What did the eSafety Commissioner say?
Well, she actually said her office is just wrapping up another significant engagement with more than 40 dating sites to access their overall safety, and with a real focus on how to change things to improve safety. And she was very grateful for the feedback, took it on board. It was part of what they were actually reviewing. She did actually give some feedback to listeners again, just to reinforce that people should resist sharing intimate images and nudes with unknown people and avoid meeting a new date at the person's home or in an isolated place. She really stressed it's so important from a safety point of view. And she agreed that people should feel confident to report any sort of online harassment, bullying or abuse to her eSafety Commissioner office and to the dating platform as well.
That's really great, Sally. Thanks so much for taking that up with the eSafety Commissioner for us and following up those listener questions.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
Now, Sally, this month we're talking about two other topics. First up, de facto relationships, marriages and family law. And then after the break, it's Victorian Law Week, which is coming up in a fortnight's time and offers 150 free events for members of the public on all sorts of legal topics, which sounds amazing. So looking forward to hearing about that. But let's start with de facto relationships. Sally, when two people first meet, they might say that they are just dating or just seeing each other, or that they are just friends with benefits. Then after a bit, they might say that they are now going out together or officially an item. That's all well and good. And I'm all for love. But from a family law point of view, at what point does a couple officially become a de facto couple in the eyes of the family law?
Oh, we've got a great theme, haven't we, at the moment? Dating, we're talking about love.
We're covering it all.
Love and the law might be our topic, I think. But it's really it's an important question. It actually does impact on people, and some people really are surprised when they get the advice that they have actually been in a de facto relationship or they're not, because people have different perceptions and of their own relationship. Basically, the people involved live together on a genuine domestic basis. They've been in the relationship for a period of 2 years, and they're not legally married, and you look at a whole host of factors, and no relationship is the same. So, but you do look at how long the couple have been together, whether a sexual relationship exists, financial dependency or interdependence, any arrangements for financial support, and the degree of a mutual commitment to a shared life. These are all interesting facts when we do have a dispute in court about it. Also to the care and support of children, and also the reputational and public aspects of the relationship. So We might have had to advise, for example, some football players. I know it sounds a little bit twee, but who are on the red carpet with their wags. I hate using all that terminology, but really it does impact. And sometimes these young players, for example, aren't quite aware that that social influencing and exhibiting that comes really actually might be one of the criteria that establishes a a basic domestic relationship. So it's really just important photo when we're rich and famous to take into consideration.
Fortunately, I don't have to worry about that. Not
the
rich and famous.
Come on.
Sally, so living together is one of the components. So if someone's in a relationship and they're not in a domestic arrangement where they're living together, that's not classified as de facto.
No, well, that's really true. We've actually had some cases recently on friends with benefits, and there are. It's really interesting how the facts can turn, and sometimes it really depends on witnesses and whether or not from time to time there might have been in the past a sexual relationship, but then often people might stay together as flatmates, for example. So it really will turn on the weight and credibility of witnesses. But a de facto relationship can end, and people can then become friends. And so you can imagine each case can be a little bit different. You can actually live with somebody, but it might be just really prudent to have those parameters defined.
So by comparison, what makes a relationship a marriage then?
Well, a marriage, you have to be over 18. You enter into a union to two people to the exclusion of all others. And to get married in Australia, you mustn't be married already. And you have to understand use specific words during the ceremony. So it's a process, it's a rite of passage. Whereas, funnily enough, you can actually be in a marriage and a de facto relationship at the same time.
Oh, so in both. So if two people are in love and happy, and they might say that it really doesn't matter if they are officially de facto or not in the eyes of the law, they might also say that they don't need a piece of paper, like a marriage certificate, to prove their love. But what happens if things do go pear-shaped in your relationship? So if things go sour and or worse still, you want to end it, is the law any different for de facto couples compared to married couples?
There's a couple of technical differences, but ultimately in terms of the division of property, no, there's no difference. And thank God it changed some years ago when I first started practicing the dim dark ages. You could be married for 30 years.
I like that, the dark ages.
Yeah. When the T-Rex was still wandering around. I'll give you an example. So you could be married, maybe a better example, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, you could be married for a year and you would, if you split up, you would still be entitled to maintenance. You could be in a de facto relationship, and I had one club I had to give this advice to, and you could be 30 years in a de facto relationship, no entitlement in the old days to maintenance. Now it is different. Married couples don't need to be separated for matters such as maintenance. Technical issue is you do need to be satisfied for property maintenance, that the couple is actually separated and that they have at least been in that de facto relationship for 2 years. And also, if you want to go to court, you need to issue, without having to seek leave, within 2 years of being separated. So there's a few factual issues that, if they're in dispute, that can be quite costly.
Right.
But normally people are agreed on those basic facts. Yes, we were in a de facto relationship. Yes, we have been, we are separated. And for less than 2 years, if it's more than 2 years, you actually have to seek the leave of the court to seek rights under the in relation to property.
Sally, we're chatting with Sally Nichols, Managing Partner at Nichols Family Law, about de facto relationships. Sally, let's talk about who gets what. That's what we all want to know about. When a de facto relationship ends and people part ways, how are things worked out in terms of who gets what? Because we've got a couple of texts that have come in, and we'll get to those in a moment.
Sure. Well, very similar to a married couple, you can actually sort out your agreement without court involvement. You can enter into mediation. You can both have legal advice, of course. And if you come to an arrangement that's acceptable to both of you and approved by law, I think that's really important to people to be empowered and to get legal advice, you can actually resolve your matters through a binding financial agreement. And if there are children involved, through a binding child support agreement. You can also get orders approved by the court through an application that's called consent orders. And you can also apply to the court for orders after satisfying certain pre-action procedures, just the same as married couples. But there are some limitations, as I've said before, for the division of property. People have to apply within 2 years of separation if they're in a de facto relationship.
Oh, so if you don't do it within leave. 2 years, that's it? You miss out?
No. Well, you have to seek leave of the court and say, look, there's special circumstances why I didn't actually issue within those 2 years. And sometimes right. people can be negotiating. But the way in which property is divided is very similar. There's a I call it a four-step process where you actually value the assets, you look at the respective contributions, the length of the relationship together. There's the same process of actually trying to work out what percentage and range of percentage would be appropriate as it is for married couples.
Can we get to a couple of texts? Rachel from Newtown says, if I break up with my partner at 23 months into the relationship, would she have access to my house and super?
Well, really great question, Rachel. There is, even though the stated limitation is 2 years, or you need to have 2 years together, there is discretion, particularly when it calls hardship to someone. So there might be, in relation to the question in relation to the house, if I was taking instructions from Rachel, I'd be wanting to actually look through at the history of contributions, who's actually put, even if the house is in Rachel's name, were there any non-financial and financial contributions that are related to that particular asset or the assets of the relationship that we'd have to look through. So there is a possibility if you're just under that limitation time. There is discretion.
Patrick says, do de factos have the same rights as married couples, particularly financial power of attorney and medical power of attorney?
That is such a good question. Generally, that's really interesting. I don't specialise in powers of attorney, but from what I know, if there is none, obviously it's important to actually go to a wills and estate lawyer, which I'm not, and get those worked out. But I believe if you were actually making a VCAT application and you were in a de facto relationship, you would have status to actually apply to be a power of attorney if there's actually no written agreement in relation to that.
There you go, Patrick. Hope that helps. Danny says...
Yeah, and Patrick, that isn't my actual area of expertise, but just from what I know, but I can certainly find out the answer and come back next time and tell you.
Fantastic, Sally. Danny says, if we split up, could my de facto... Oh, this is really important. Danny, I'm with you on this one. If we split up, could my de facto get the dog we bought together?
Oh, my
I just
goodness.
Took my dog and said, no, you're not having him.
Oh, no, look, it's actually really tough. Pets and family law, pets are technically property. And I did have a case, again, years ago, where I was dealing with some prize-winning pets who were worth quite a lot of money because of their breeding lineage. And they were the subject of a dispute. But generally, everyone hopes that common sense prevails in relation to this matter. I know there's been a few times in court where litigants have actually raised the issue and dispute over the dogs in front of judges, and they've been a bit grumpy about it. They really would like people to work that out themselves if they could. So, yes, it's something that I think we send people off to mediation in relation to a lot of issues, particularly those that are emotionally charged. And I think that's definitely an issue that I would absolutely value, and I know it's really important, but I'd actually try and seek a really good family mediator for one of the FDR dispute resolution practitioners.
We're chatting to Nichols Family Lawyers Managing Partner Sally Nichols. Coming up, we're going to talk about how the family law treats same-sex, gender-diverse and heterosexual couples, and do they treat them the same, and also polyamorous relationships here on Joy Drive.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. You're tuned in to Joy Drive on Joy 94.9.
We're chatting to Sally Nichols, Managing Partner at Nichols Family Lawyers, about de facto relationships. Sally, we've got Nick from Albert Park on the line. Nick, you got a question for Sally?
I do. Hi, Warren. Hi, Sally. I did have a question about the de facto relationships, and particularly, I guess I've been wondering if the family law treats same-sex, gender-diverse and heterosexual couples in exactly the same way when it comes to de facto relationships, or is there a difference?
Let's go, Sally.
Well, yeah, no, thank you, Nick. Yeah, the Family Law Act treats all people exactly the same way at all stages of the relationship, including the breakup and end of the relationship stages, and provided the court's got jurisdiction to deal with the matters, either as a de facto relationship has ended or a matrimonial matter or parenting for children. Apart from those few technical issues I mentioned in relation to timing and having to prove some of those facts, the actual treatment of the division of property is and children's issues is the same.
Does that answer your question, Nick?
It does. It does. No, thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for calling in. If you've got a question, you can give us a call, 1300 569 949. Sally, can a de facto or marriage relationship be more than two people, you know, say a throuple? And if so, what are the legal implications there?
Absolutely. And I think we are moving with the times. And I remember when the laws came in, there were big headlines, which were a little bit sexist, saying, oh, he can marry the mistress, or the mistress can take or get involved or intervene in the family law proceedings was, I think, one of the trash mags sort of headlines. But it was really opening up and recognising that you can actually have a number of relationships at the same time, domestic relationships. You can be married, you can have a domestic relationship. And the implications are really interesting. So when this change in the law happened, I actually was approached by a lady who'd been in a long-term de facto relationship with a man, and he was also married. He had not ended his marriage, and his wife did not realise that he had also been in a de facto relationship. So the lady who'd been in the de facto relationship intervened in the property proceedings. So there were actually two claims at once.
Oh, wow.
Over the same property. And so it was a really, again, interesting argument. The lady had to prove that if...
Oh, Sally, we have lost you. We might try and get Sally back and finish talking about Victorian Law Week. You are on Joy Drive. We're chatting to Sally Nichols, Managing Partner at Nichols Family Lawyer. Sally, we've got you back.
I know. I don't know what happened. I just fell into the dark hole. I was really enjoying the question too. It was so interesting.
It is interesting.
Multiple relationships, yeah.
Let's move on to Victorian Law Week. Tell us about that.
Well, Victorian Law Week is just fantastic. It's very based on access to justice. It's coming up from the 15th to the 21st of May. So all over Victoria, people can get free legal advice and support on a huge number of everyday legal issues. There are face-to-face events, there are live webinars and on-demand web videos, and there are more than 150 events to choose from, and they're all free, which I think is great.
And just like you said, everyday legal issues.
Yes, and that's just things that can affect people in everyday life. It might be just how to actually buy a home, child support, how the courts actually operate, conversations with a police officer, elder law, elder abuse, human rights law, family violence, family law, powers of attorney, which I had a question about earlier, so are there. And surrogacy, IVF, wills and estates. So there's a huge range.
Fantastic. Now, are you guys involved at Nichols Family Lawyers?
We are. We're really excited. One of the events that's really close to my heart is actually the screening of The Fort, which we've been supporting for a long time. Shana, I don't know if people are Block fans, but Shana Blaze from The Block, she generously donated her money from Celeb Apprentice, her winnings, to make a film on coercive control, and it's really powerful. And there's going to be a panel discussion which includes Shana, but really, and our office, talking about really the impact of coercive control, what you can do to be an active bystander, but also looking at how widespread and damaging family violence is and the recent changes to paid family violence leave, so how employees can access paid family violence leave and how employers can actually work with staff who and better understand family violence and the best practice ways to implement this new leave pay for staff, which it's one of, I won't spoil the film, but it's one of the issues in the film is just access to funds or access to support to be able to get advice too. So, yeah, excellent. Hopefully it will go down well. And there's other, we're looking at surrogacy and IVF, which is one of our specialties, donor agreements, family law, and we're also participating in the free legal advice sessions.
Fantastic. So, unfortunately, we've run out of time. If we want more information on Law Week, where can we get it?
You can go through bodies like the Law Institute of Victoria, Victorian Bar. You can go onto the website for Law Week for the Victorian Law Foundation. So you Google Law Week Victoria and you will get 150 segments coming up to choose from.
Fantastic. Sal, thank you so much for today. We look forward to seeing you next month on the first Wednesday of June, just after the 4:30 news. Fantastic. Amazing. Thanks, Sally. Warren. Sally Nichols is the managing partner at Nichols Family Lawyers.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.